Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Also, make sure to check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. We have a ton of bonus content. Ross had a couple videos this week. Myself and Aaron Nagler, members-only Q&A. So check those out. Also, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. And on the audio channels, make sure you're getting automatic downloads. And on the video, make sure you're getting those notifications anytime there is a new video available. Appreciate all your support. And now we're being joined by the wonderful Carmen Vitale. You can find her on Fox Sports Radio and, of course, on social media and Blue Sky at Carmi V. Carmen, it's been a wild couple weeks in the NFL. We'll get into all of that momentarily. But before we get there, how are you doing?
I'm good. Great, honestly. This is, I have to imagine that Packers fans are on cloud nine right now because everybody else in the division just keeps, with the exception of the Lions, I guess now, but everybody else in the division is pretty disappointed right now.
Yeah, there's a heck of a Monday night football game that we'll talk about a little bit. You know, the Lions and the Ravens has some really interesting implications. One of those teams is going 1-2. Don't think it's going to be panic for either of those teams. They're both going to be fine, but that's definitely an interesting dynamic in that game. But yeah, as a Packers fan right now, it's a pretty good time to be a Packers fan following a huge Micah Parsons transaction with immediately two wins against Detroit and Washington. We'll get into all of that. And I guess it's actually kind of a perfect place to start today because what I want to know right now is if you kind of look at it from a Vegas standpoint, there seems to be kind of four teams at the top that are dominating this conversation as kind of quote unquote Super Bowl contenders. Obviously, Buffalo and Baltimore in the AFC, Green Bay and Philly in the NFC. To your point, I don't think Detroit's going to go, you know, calmly into the night with this entire thing either. There's some teams on the periphery. I think the Rams, the Buccaneers are very interesting, although the Buccaneers seem to have a new devastating injury almost every single day right now, which I just is the worst. But where do the Packers rank right now for you on kind of your list of Super Bowl contenders? It's early, I get it.
It is early, but I mean, as soon as they made that Micah Parsons trade, I was like, all right, they're going to the Super Bowl. Like, I really do think that, like, they could be the team that comes out of the NFC. I actually, my Super Bowl pick is Packers-Bills, which I don't know if that's more just, like, wishful thinking than it is actual, like, reality. But I think that would be a fun matchup, and it would be something different than we've seen in the past few years. I really think that, though, this team, this Packers team is completely, is so complete, right? We talked about that last week about how you've kind of solved a lot of the stuff up front, which is complementing the back end of your defense. Jeff Hafley is in his second year as defensive coordinator. The guys are much more comfortable with that system. And then provided that Jordan Love can stay healthy and most of his receivers can stay healthy, although there's already been, you know, a shakeup there, I really think that this offense is capable of keeping up with anybody. And if that's the case, then, you know, who is their greatest competition in the NFC? It's the Eagles. What did they just do with a dual threat quarterback in Jaden Daniels in the Commanders on that Thursday night game? Well, they handled it really, really well. And if you can handle Jalen Hurts like that, then who's stopping you from getting to, you know, the big game?
Hope is nobody. That would be the ideal situation. I want to go back to something that I know you talked about a lot last year, and you kind of brought it up with Jeff Hafley there. You talked about Brian Flores in Minnesota last year of how that second year in his defense was going to be a game changer for those players who knew it better, were more well-versed in it. They were going to be able to open up even more exotic looks in their defense because everyone had the communications and the understandings down. It kind of feels like we're seeing something similar in year two of Jeff Hafley's defense. Side note, Micah Parsons helps quite a bit as well. But it does feel like this defense is even flying around faster than they were a season ago.
Well, it's interesting because I was at a pass rush summit this offseason or during the summer, and it was something that Rashawn Gary has been very involved in and year out. It was BT Jordan's pass rush summit. And I got to talk to Rashawn. I got to talk to Kenny Clark, who now no longer is a Packer. But what they told me was, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of kind of evaluating things, figuring things out last year. And Rashawn, you know, he admitted to me, he's like, I've heard all of the things. I am not, you know, satisfied with anything that I was able to do last year. I know what's expected of me. I know the role that I'm supposed to play. And now he understands the specific role in this scheme that he is supposed to play even better. That's what he told me. That's what he said. Everybody is more comfortable in this scheme. And Super Bowl is the goal for them. This is the Green Bay Packers we're talking about. This is a franchise that has had perennial success, you know, to varying degrees. Obviously, it's been a while since they've actually hoisted the Lombardi Trophy. But that's something that is on the minds of these guys constantly, and it's what's expected of them constantly, year in and year out. And so Rashawn Gary was telling me just how much he really likes Jeff Hafley's scheme, how much more comfortable he feels. And I think, obviously, with the addition of Micah Parsons, but I think even if they hadn't gone out and made that blockbuster trade, I think that we would have seen a more kind of comfortable Rashawn and some of those other guys as well, just because it does take a while. I mean, you were trading players at the trade deadline last year in Green Bay. So it's like you have to kind of figure out, does your personnel match what the scheme is now? It's a drastically different scheme than anything Green Bay has had in the last decade and a half. So I just think it takes time. And we see that over and over again. I'm happy you brought up the Minnesota example, because for as amazing as Brian Flores' defense is, it's incredibly complex. Yeah. And it takes a while to kind of get the hang of that and to think like Brian Flores does. And so I think that now in Green Bay, Jeff Hafley has his players thinking like he does.
Two things I want to shout out really quick from what you just said. Number one, Rashawn Gary this past week had a fine game. He had a sack. I really want to shout him out because he is doing a lot of dirty work stuff and did a lot of dirty work stuff in that game. Had a great play in run defense where he took on a block super aggressively to set up his linebackers for success. Was also kind of containing on the side and just playing a brand of football that was extremely, extremely unselfish so that guys like Edgerrin Cooper and Micah Parsons could kind of flourish. You got to have the guys kind of set everyone else up for success. I thought Rashawn did a tremendous job of that in this past game. And then to your point, the goal in Green Bay is Super Bowls. And I shout out Brian Gutekunst as well for in that standard right away in the offseason and saying it's time to start winning championships again in Green Bay. And then not only sent that message to the entire organization, but then backed it up by getting Aaron Banks, Nate Hobbs, and then, of course, Micah Parsons as well. So I love that that is the mission, the vision, the goal. And he has certainly set that vision, and he certainly backed it up this offseason as well. You kind of went over the reasons that Green Bay can win a championship. Obviously, the defense and Micah Parsons being a huge part of that second year in Jeff Hafley. What, if anything, through two games, and it's been a pretty well-organized effort over the first 2 weeks, but what, if anything, is giving you any cause for concern about this Packers team?
I mean, I just think it's health, because just from everything that I see across the board, again, I've talked, a lot about how this defense then allows Jordan Love to make the mistakes that he's inevitably going to make when it comes to turning the ball over, being a little too aggressive, being a little too reckless. We know that that's part of Jordan Love's game, and it's not necessarily something you want to coach out of him. So I think, like, if from a national perspective, I think a lot of people would say it is Jordan Love and his just willingness to just chuck the ball down the field and hope somebody's there to get it. But I think that that's very calculated, and I think that's part of his game that you don't want to coach out of him because of the fact that sometimes it works. And when it works, there's no defending stuff like that. And if that's in the back of the minds of a defense that you're playing, that Jordan Love is willing to take those risks, it's so much harder to defend. And you have a defense that can support that, because if he does happen to make a mistake like that, if he does throw an interception, there is a faith in that defense that they can give right back to you without too much damage. So I think that that would probably be I don't have a whole lot of concerns other than injuries with the Green Bay Packers right now, because again, they're such a solid and complete team, and they seem to be ascending in every way you want them to. Even offensively, it seems like Matt LaFleur is getting back to being Matt LaFleur when it comes to the tight end usage and how, you know, Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave are going to be used. I think that that's something that you need to, like, that needs to be a very crucial part to this offense, because that's what Matt LaFleur likes to do. He loves those multiple tight end sets. So the more you can get that out of there and play his game, I think the more comfortable everybody's going to be. And yeah, and I don't know. It's incredible to see just like a top to bottom really, really good roster, team, scheme. Everything seems to just fit.
To your point on injuries, It's my new least favorite thing in the world is like the bloody Mondays and Tuesdays that are now coming out in the NFL. Like this week, Joe Burrow out for a foreseeable future. Justin Fields is out this week. Jaden Daniels, there's some question as to his availability. Jalen Johnson's out for the year. Alex Highsmith, high ankle sprain. Robert Hunt and Austin Corbett, two starting offensive linemen for the Panthers, out. Austin Eckler out for the season. Obviously, Jaden Reed is going to be out for the foreseeable future. Cooper Beebe out like 6 weeks for Dallas, and then JJ McCarthy, Aaron Jones. Like, we can go on and on, but like, there is now going to be almost every single week, it feels like, this laundry list of injuries that is going to affect the NFL. It sucks. It's the worst, but you almost have to kind of luck into, hey, you can't be the team that has that catastrophic injury that's going to set you back for any sort of significant period. The one thing I will say, though, is if there is a team depth-wise that could, like Jaden Reed's a great example. Yeah, Jaden Reed being out is not ideal. It's going to be a huge bummer. But the fact that you still have Dobbs, Wicks, Golden, Savion Williams, Christian Watson's coming back in a couple weeks, Musgrave, Kraft, Josh Jacobs, like you still have more than enough weapons to go out there and win, especially with this defense. If there's any team that's insulated, maybe a little bit, no team is perfect from that standpoint, but a little bit, it is the depth of Green Bay. And that's why I don't want to see any of these rumors of, should they trade Malik Willis or Romeo Dobbs? No, don't trade anybody. Keep your team intact, because you're going to probably need those players throughout the course of the season. We'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you seriously paid. Now, don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. Green Bay is 2-0, and after a mini bye, they are set to take on Cleveland in their first road game of the season. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be going heavy on Matthew Golden and Edgerrin Cooper in this matchup. I'm also going to be keeping a close eye on Josh Allen, AJ Brown, and Ashton Jeanty in week 3. Now, some of you may be new, so let me just tell you, Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in. Lately, I've been really enjoying Flex Play, which allows you to still cash out even if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY, Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Hey friends, there are certain fall aesthetics that just bring back a multitude of personal and family memories that can't simply be replaced. A perfect autumn bonfire, the smell of fallen leaves, and of course, the best smell of them all, a perfect cut of meat searing wonderfully on a hot grill. And you know what season it is in Green Bay? It's tailgating season. That's why I already have a whole host of beautiful Omaha steaks ready for the grill this football season. I went with their fall bestsellers pack, which includes filet mignons, pork chops, jumbo franks, chicken breasts, and so much more. Now, Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917. It's a family-owned company that has over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. And the best part is that every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Red Hot Sale event. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details.
Yeah, you will in some way, form or fashion, whether that's, you know, certain packages or it is because of injury. I mean, I just, the depth is such a luxury in this league. And I think we've seen time and time again that the teams that make it the furthest are the teams that are the deepest. And because when it comes to playoff time, everybody's tired. Everybody's just played a full season. And you just, your body, no matter if you are a world-class athlete, is not meant to put up with a car accident every single week, which is what these guys go through. So having depth is like being able to manage kind of the workload of so many of your guys. And that's why I think last week we talked about Micah Parsons has already been, you know, kind of effective in a limited role. He hasn't been out there for every single defensive snap. And my thought process is almost like, okay, good. Maybe don't put him out there. Don't, you know, try and get him to full speed, not even full speed, but just like a full workload at all this season. I mean, if he can be this effective when he is only on the field for a third or maybe even a half of the defensive snaps, then keep it that way, because then he's just going to be that much fresher down the stretch when these games do mean more, when they're playing for playoff seeding, when they get to the playoffs. Like, that is something that if you can, like, I hate to use the word load management because of such a negative connotation, you know, from the NBA and everything like that, but if you have the luxury of doing that because the player that you're trying to save is effective whenever he's on the field and you don't need him to be on the field for that much, like for the entire game, then don't put him out there for the entire game. I mean, I think Micah Parsons would probably have a problem with that. He wants to obviously play every snap. But I really think that when you have depth, use it. Use it during the season, even if you don't need to, because it's only going to come in handy later on.
No, I know you didn't want to say the word load management, but I was just about to go there as well. We see it a lot in the NBA. I know it's a point of contention and frustration in a lot of NBA circles, but I do think certainly when, like you said, when you have that depth, it is something to be cognizant of. I think we talk about it with running backs, maybe more in the NFL than anything else, but I do think there comes a point in time where, especially as we're at 17 game season now, we're probably going to go to an 18 game season. Plus you've got playoffs on top of that. I mean, a 21, 22, whatever game season it ends up being, if you're making that Super Bowl run, it can take a massive toll on you. And as we know, as we just talked about, the season is just as much a war of attrition as it is the war in the record books, because every single Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday after the game, I go, not only what was the win and loss record in that game, but what did it cost you? What players are going to be out for a significant period of time?
It's kind
of
like Thanos, what did it cost?
What did it cost? It's like, well, this week it cost Jaden Reed. So, you got to win, but it's going to cost you 8 weeks of Jaden Reed. It's like, well, that sucks, but, that just is kind of life in the NFL. So any ability to mitigate some of that as the season goes along, I am certainly all for as well. Obviously, to an extent, you're going to need Micah Parsons out there in key moments, key plays, and a certain amount during the course of the game. But still, it's better to be smart with that stuff than over aggressive and wear your guys out to the point where you get to the postseason and guys are just out of gas, out of energy, and they're not helping you the way that they should be at that point in time, which I don't necessarily agree with, but we've heard about Micah Parsons in his past with Dallas of maybe not always, you know, being able to keep that same consistency up through the course of a season.
Yeah. And I mean, look at the Detroit Lions and what happened to them last year. I mean, they went literally roaring into the division title, and that it was just the injuries that kept piling up. You had Andrew Hutchinson halfway through the season, or not quite halfway through the season. And from then on, it was just trying to make up for that absence. And in the making up for that absence, then you're starting to use guys in different ways, use guys more. And by the end of it, by the end of the regular season, Detroit was so banged up, especially in that secondary. They just could not keep guys on the field. And it was their undoing. That's why they lost the first playoff game that they played. It was more than anyone could overcome, more than any scheme could overcome. I mean, Aaron Glenn blitzed the hell out of those guys more and more and more as the season went on, because he had to. And when you have that kind of stuff, it's just, there's nothing you can do about it. So, I mean, we're not talking about like Micah Parsons not playing at all in certain games. I just think that you can manage how much he plays in games and kind of see the way the game is going. And if you don't need him because you're blowing a team out, pull him, and he doesn't have to be out on the field. And I think you should do that across the board, quite honestly, when it comes to some of your better players, and like maybe not all at the same time. I'm not asking you to pull all your starters willy-nilly, but it's something that you have to be incredibly cognizant of, because anymore, the margin for error in the NFL is so incredibly small that it is these injuries that are inevitably what keep teams out of the postseason or a real playoff run.
Yeah, no, I'm totally in agreement. I think it's really smart and well said. Let's transition over to Packers-Browns, because this is obviously the here and the now, and Green Bay is favored in this game, although it's not like a crazy number. It's been between 7.5 and 8.5. I've seen 8 today. I've seen 7.5 today, but overall, not a crazy line. I think Cleveland's defense has been a little bit undersold because of the 40-point performance, but that was due to a lot of turnovers and bizarro stuff that happened to set them up in those positions. But let me start with the Browns defense against the Packers offense. On that side of the ball, what are you watching for in this one?
I mean, you have to watch for Myles Garrett. That's the one thing that is just can be catastrophic. Myles Garrett is a game wrecker. It's why he's Defensive Player of the Year. And he can affect so many things, because he can blow past double teams. He's such an incredible athlete. They use him in myriad ways along the front. And I just think that when you can affect the quarterback and force them into some of those decisions that maybe they don't want to make, especially with a quarterback like Jordan Love, who is not risk averse, that's when you can kind of get teams into trouble. Now, I do think their secondary also is a little bit undersold. And I think they have the capability of getting those takeaways, but it's just kind of a matter of if their offense can keep up with what their defense is doing for them. And that's kind of always been the story of the Browns for a very long time. But yeah, defensively, I mean, I really think it starts and ends with Myles Garrett. And like, I know that's, you know, very obvious analysis, but it's true. I mean, he is that one guy in the league that everyone has to watch out for.
It's almost a race in this game because Cleveland's going to play a ton of cover one and a ton of man-to-man coverage. It's just what they're known for. They lead the league in cover one. They lead the league in man coverage. And your receivers are going to get off that man coverage eventually, but Myles Garrett's going to get off of your blocking and their defensive front's going to get off of your blocking eventually. So it's like almost like every single play is literally a race of who wins first, the receiver against the corner or the defensive end against the offensive tackle, or just in general, their defensive line. I think that's going to kind of be a really fun matchup here. And the reason I like this a little bit for Green Bay is usually when there's any coordinator that gets a little bit more predictable and you know kind of what's coming, that's when Matt LaFleur really picks you apart. It's when, you know, it's almost like when he doesn't know what's coming or when they change things up on him, that's where he can get a little bit of like, I had this perfect game plan all set. Now you're doing something different. But when he kind of knows exactly what you're going to do, especially when he's seen a ton of man already from Washington and from Detroit, I think they're going to be well prepared for this one, but that doesn't certainly make that matchup with the Browns defensive line any easier.
No. And then, I mean, on the other side of things too, I think that Cleveland's offensive line is a little bit better this year. And you have an experienced quarterback in back there. I think that we're going to see how much this offense, like, again, can keep up with what their opponents can do. And that's season long. But obviously we've talked about how much Jordan Love and this offense are capable of scoring points. Very much so. Even with Jaden Reed now out, you have a ton of points that these guys can put up. And so can Cleveland keep up with that? But I do think that, you know, with the addition of Micah Parsons, we've talked so much about the defensive line being able to do so many different things because you can line Micah Parsons up all over the line. And then that means you can move other guys and other pieces all over the place. And I think we've seen this resurgence of kind of the interior of that line. And I mean, I wouldn't want to be going up against these guys now that they're starting to get in a groove is my point on the Green Bay defense, because last year where the pass rush was a little bit middling, affecting the quarterback was a little bit middling. That's not the case so far through a couple weeks of the season. And I don't see that stopping anytime soon. And then you have guys like Nate Hobbs in the back, and then you have Xavier McKinney who can take the ball away on any given play. I mean, that is just, it's a recipe for disaster for a lot of teams. And I think for the Browns in particular.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I'm just looking at right now, defensive player of the year odds. Number one, number one, Micah Parsons plus 440, Myles Garrett, number two at plus 550.
I would have thought those two were flipped. I would have thought it was still Myles Garrett.
Yeah, so Parsons one, Garrett two. I mean, probably a lot of that has to do with record. Like, it's hard to give defensive player of the year if the team is like 3-14 or something like that. But I think both of those clearly the top two. After that, it's Nick Bosa 850, Will Anderson 900, Aiden Hutchinson 1100, and then T.J. Watt 1600. But I could see Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett getting into a one-up battle as they try to outdo each other to see who can have the better performance here, especially against the Browns offenses. Their interior on the Browns is really good. Their tackles right now have been a little bit of a mess. And for Green Bay, with no Zach Tom potentially in this game, I'm sure Myles Garrett is licking his chops about that as well. So I could see a battle here where they try to one-up each other and both of them end up with like 2.5 sacks in the stat sheet or something. I think both of those players are just, from an NFL standpoint, obviously from a Packers standpoint, would appreciate Micah doing better there. But from an NFL standpoint, could be a fun one to watch with those two kind of going back and forth. As we kind of wrap up, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
I was just going to say as we kind of wrap up Packers-Browns, if I told you the Browns somehow came up with an upset and won this game, what would be the formula? What would be your expectation as to how that happened?
That's actually where I was just going to go you forced Jordan Love into throwing off his back foot, throwing off platform, making some decisions, trying to force balls into tight windows. And then you take advantage of it on the back end of that defense. And I think that that's the way that the Browns win, is if they can force Jordan Love into some bad decisions. Which, again, we talk about how he is not very risk averse. He is willing to take those risks. But he has the rapport, for the most part, with his receivers to back it up, whether that be the tight ends or the wide receivers. So I really think that it's not necessarily going to be a problem. But if the Browns do pull this off, it's because they affected Jordan Love to the point where they collapsed the pocket on him. They didn't give him much, enough time to throw. They, you know, hit him, got him, you know, rattled, all of that kind of stuff, making him trying to force plays that just aren't there. And then they take advantage of it. So it's twofold. It's, you have to do that, and then you actually have to take advantage of it. But like I said, I think that their secondary is a little undersold as well. So I think they're capable of it. But I just don't – I mean, I think the Packers are still a very, very complete team. And when you talk about their defense too, they can withstand some of those mistakes, and hopefully you just don't make a whole lot of them.
It just feels like if Green Bay either ties or wins the turnover battle, it's just game over. It feels like Cleveland has to win some way, win the turnover battle, get a big return, do something that kind of flips the script on this one and puts this game on its head. And all of a sudden, Green Bay is the one that's having to get back into it. And then if you're playing catch up against that Browns defense, then it gets a whole lot harder. So Green Bay certainly does not want to find themselves in that position. I know your favorite thing to do in the world is predictions. I won't make you predict a score, but who do you got in this one?
I have the Green Bay Packers.
All right, fair
especially
enough.
With the extra time, and all, they should be well rested. It's fine.
My only thing is that, like, I want to see, they've had such amazing energy in those first two games. I want to see them come out. Did they have the same energy on the road after 10 days off against just a Browns noon game? That's one of the things that I'm definitely looking for here. I'm definitely going to talk a little bit more of that in my preview show as well, but that's one thing. I just want to see Green Bay come out with that same energy, if that's even possible in this game. I know it's a little bit different when you're facing the Browns in a marquee opponent, but you got to take every team in the NFL like they are a marquee opponent, or crazy things can ultimately happen. I want to pick your brain on a couple other quick matchups or just NFL notes, because you cover the league so insanely well, and we don't always get to take a broader look. I want to start with Lions Ravens Monday Night Football, which I think has the ability to be one of the real marquee games on this NFL calendar. Your thoughts on that game, and again, just kind of the stakes here with one of these teams going to 1-2 on the season if they lose this game. We'll be right back. What's going on, everyone? I am so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Prealcohol. ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Now, Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for bachelor parties, fall cookouts, and at a huge tailgating event, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Football is here, which means more opportunities to get out there with your friends and celebrate the season. So before that backyard barbecue brew, post-touchdown mixer, or cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that football season has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our partners and use that code Packaday. Sports are all about competition. Every snap, every possession, every clutch moment matters. That same energy is what 1v1 me brings to video games. Every single day, you can watch and stake on matchups in Madden, NBA 2K, FC, and Call of Duty Search and Destroy. All the games are streamed live, every match has refs, and payouts are instant. And these aren't just random online lobbies. These are the best players in the scene, pros, streamers, and rivals, with season playoffs and the championship game on the line. Every game matters. Over 100 million has already been paid out on the app, and the community is growing fast. If you're a sports fan, a gamer, or just someone who loves having a little extra on the line, 1v1me is where you need to be. It's not just about winning. It's about the bragging rights, too. Every match has a chat going crazy, and you can back your pick in real time. Download today and use code Packaday. Your first stake on the app is risk-free. That's code Packaday for a risk-free first stake. Do not miss this opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't ultimately think that matters a whole lot, because I keep going through this because obviously I live in Chicago and Bears fans are freaking out. But the thing is, when teams game plan against another team, against an opponent, their sample size of games that they watch film-wise, 4 games, that's kind of the standard, the industry standard. 4 games, that's what they watch. We have not played 4 games yet. So if you can't glean any sort of tendencies or if there's a reason why NFL coaches need four games to get tendencies, to get kind of the scheme down and all that other stuff, then I'm going to give all of these teams at least four games to kind of figure it out before I make any sweeping conclusions. The Lions are a perfect example of, you know, they go out against the Packers in week one. They don't look so hot. It looks like, you know, that coaching attrition really is making a difference. And it's, you know, maybe it's going to be kind of ugly for the Lions in the foreseeable future. And then, I mean, granted, it was the Bears, but you go out and you just obliterate them. You hang 50 on them. And then it's like, oh, yeah, this offense is still capable of scoring 50 points. That's not a bad defense in Chicago. And so then I think this game is kind of another, like, equalizer of, like, all right, where exactly are the Lions? How much did this coaching attrition affect them? Yeah. Are they you know, figuring it out? Do they feel comfortable? It's just a matter of getting more reps within these new systems, because even when the case of Kelvin Shepard, who was elevated and has been on the staff, he's a drastically different coordinator than Aaron Glenn is. Yep. Just even in his overall demeanor. I mean, I watched him at practice this summer when I went up there for training camp. He's chirping the offense. He's biting his own guys' heads off. Like, he's very, very vocal. And that really feeds into the energy of the unit. And I really like it. And I think it's good for them. But that could not be more different than what Aaron Glenn was. Aaron Glenn could discipline you with a look. And I would have never wanted to be on the receiving end of that look. But he was much more the strong, silent type. And I mean, don't get me wrong, he could lose it sometimes, but it was very rare and it was very few and far between. So it's just, it's still a different team. And I, you know, they just need to get more and more comfortable. They're going to have the opportunity to go against a really good opponent in the Ravens, because the Ravens are still a very good opponent. They had some attrition to make up for too this offseason. So it's like, it's just about these teams getting comfortable. And then the more games they play, and until they get to that four game benchmark, that's when you start to see, okay, this is who this team is. So I think this is just going to be another one of those games where we find out who these teams are and if we should be worried about them. I personally don't think, you know, I think this isn't going to be a very close game. I think it could be potentially a shootout, but we'll see. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson is now on that defensive line for the Detroit Lions, which kind of, you know, throws a wrench into points being scored, but Lamar is very elusive. So I'm very interested to see kind of this game from the perspective of, all right, who are these teams really? Do we actually need to be concerned?
It's always important to kind of keep an eye on these, because so Green Bay gets Cleveland this week. They get kind of the easiest team in the AFC North. Detroit gets them later. And right now, Detroit has the hardest one in Baltimore, while Green Bay faces them later in the season. All of a sudden, you lose to Cleveland and they beat Baltimore. That can change your outlook in the NFC North and who wins this division quite a bit. So definitely Green Bay wants to pick up this win. And you're obviously cheering on Baltimore if you're a Packers fan against Detroit in this game as well. Before we get out of here, we went into the season to the biggest wild cards, lottery tickets, just mystery boxes were JJ McCarthy and Caleb Williams. No idea kind of what to expect with Williams in this new offense and Ben Johnson. JJ McCarthy, first time as a starter. It's not gone great so far for necessarily either, but where are you at with these two quarterbacks now that we've got a couple weeks of intel? Of course, McCarthy's got the injury, unfortunately, now as well.
Yeah, that's the most unfortunate thing, because JJ McCarthy missing any time is not good. You don't want to disrupt his development and the momentum, because there were signs, especially in that Chicago game, where, you know, he wasn't good for three quarters of that game and then was able to turn it on and fight through that.
Yep.
That is not something that you see a lot of rookies do. And I mean, I know he's not a rookie, but you know what I'm saying? You're like, his first year starting, it's, you just don't see young players being able to kind of overcome stuff like that and then come out and lead their team in that way, because they are so young, because they're so inexperienced. But that's the one concerning thing with JJ McCarthy, because I do still think that he's going to be a good player, a great player. I think he's going to be more than serviceable for this Minnesota Vikings team that is very solid outside of that quarterback position. We talked about how that was the only question mark when it came to Minnesota this season. And I have to think that Kevin O'Connell is too good of a coach to let him fail, but injuries are one way to derail that. And so I'm really hoping that this isn't anything long-term and it doesn't linger. And then when it comes to Caleb Williams, I mean, this is a drastically different scheme. Ben Johnson really kind of tore him down and is building him back up from the ground up. He keeps talking about his footwork. I was just there at House Hall yesterday talking to Caleb Williams about it. And he said that, you know, over the last week, he's really been focusing on that because that is something that can derail the rhythm of the offense. This is a very rhythm-based offense. It's very timing-based. It's very anticipation-based. You need to throw to a spot. Your receiver isn't necessarily there. If your timing is off whatsoever for whatever reason, it doesn't work. And that's what we've seen through two games of the season is that just when they're in the script, it works. When they're in the script that Ben Johnson, you know, the coaches script the first 10 to 15 plays of a game. And when they're within that threshold or that window, that you can see the vision. You see why this offense could work. And you see that Caleb Williams can operate it. But then it's like when they get out of the script, that's when Caleb Williams starts to create a little bit more. And then that throws off Ben Johnson's rhythm as a play caller. And it just, it's not marrying up right now. I don't expect it to. I was trying to prepare people. You know, the Bears could very well go 1-3, 0-4 before their bye. That doesn't mean anything. Because I look back at the first year of Ben Johnson in, you know, as offensive coordinator in Detroit, they started 1-6. Even after their bye week, they came back and they got slaughtered by the New England Patriots in like a very surprise, like the surprise game where everyone was like, what? The New England Patriots without Tom Brady? Like, they suck. Why? Yeah. How in the world? Like, God, this is terrible. And then the Lions were coming off a 3-13-1 season. Like, it was really bad in Detroit during that stretch. But what I saw in the locker room in Detroit, because I was there for the Lions-Packers game that the Lions actually won, and it was kind of started what started to turn the tide. But I was there when they were 1-6. And that locker room could not have been more fun. And I say that as a compliment. And so when I was in the Bears locker room yesterday, I was like, oh, people are still having fun. Guys are playing basketball. They're playing music. Day and Night by Kid Cudi is bumping, you know, in the locker room. I'm like, okay. So they all still have belief. And they're all still trusting the process of what Ben Johnson is instilling. It just so happens that two games isn't enough to instill and set the foundation of an entire offense, especially one that is as different as what Ben Johnson wants to do. So that's my long spiel. We can't glean anything. Like, it's all to say what I said about like earlier, which is you can't glean anything off of two games. You can't glean anything off of three or even four games. And, you know, that's kind of when you can start figuring out who these teams are, is minimum four games. And I think when you have an overhaul like the Bears did, that is something that may even take longer. Ben Johnson even said it yesterday. He's like, we're going to play our best football in December. I know that. And I have no doubt about it. But, like, they might not play great football until December. You know? I don't know.
Well, the good news is that if there's one thing NFL fans are known for, it's their patience. They definitely have long-term patience to go through the ups and downs of an NFL season. We'll see how that goes in Chicago and certainly in Minnesota as well. Carmen, I know we got to get you out of here. Thank you so much for your time, as always. Tell us where we can find all of your amazing work on the way out.
Easiest way is just go to my social handles, CarmiV, on Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky.
Go follow her at CarmiV. Of course, follow her on Fox Sports Radio as well. That's going to do it for Carmen and I today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.